Live from Washington, D.C., it's the last honest man in Washington. It's the Cooner Show. From the Washington Times. From our nation's capital. Live from the belly of the beast. It's Cooner Time.
Welcome back to the Cooner Show on 570 WTNT, the last honest man in Washington. 301-984-9570 is the number. 301-984-9570. My friends, you want to see what the future of Eurabia looks like. The transformation of Europe under massive third world immigration, and especially immigration from Muslim countries, combined with multiculturalism and secular liberalism, which refuses to push an assimilationist ethic. All you have to do is look what is happening across the pond. This is the future that awaits America, unless we learn from what is happening right now. Today, Reuters news agency has now reported that a well-known Australian Muslim cleric who now lives in Malaysia has openly called for the beheading of the prominent Dutch politician Geert Wilders. Now, this imam, Fayez Mohammed, has now, in a speech that has been recorded and sent around the world, called Geert Wilders Satan, the devil, this politician in Holland, who he says must be killed and beheaded by every devout Muslim. He has put a fatwa on Geert Wilders' head. Now, Jeff, you may ask, Jeff, who's Geert Wilders? I actually had the honor and privilege of seeing Geert Wilders deliver a speech at CPAC a couple years ago. He has become one of the most prominent politicians, not only in the Netherlands, what used to be called Holland, but across Europe. Wilders' Freedom Party is now the most popular in Holland. He's about to form a minority government. Yet for years, he has been living essentially on the run in an underground protected facility. He is protected by the Dutch Secret Service because of a film that he released in 2008. Where he criticized radical Islam, where he openly said that many Islamists use the Quran as a justification in their holy war against the West. And for that film, for depicting the Twin Towers coming down, for depicting some of these radical imams with their radical sermons, calling for the murder of Christians and Jews, for the stoning of gays and lesbians, for the stoning of women adulterers, for the fact that rape is something that many of these imams say should never be prosecuted because the women bring it upon themselves. For all of that that he depicts in that movie, he has been deemed an Islamophobe. And now he is facing trial in the Netherlands by one of their kangaroo court human rights tribunals for being politically incorrect, for being, quote, Islamophobic. And now you have this guy, Fayez Mohammed, this animal, this radical, openly putting a fatwa on his head, saying Geert Wilders must be beheaded. Polls show that if Wilders ran today, the last election they had was June 9th, but if there was a new election today, he would win an outright majority. What he is telling the people of Holland is that by 2020, in 10 more years, Amsterdam will become a majority Muslim city. That the Dutch are losing control over their borders and they are slowly losing their nation. That the Dutch are no longer going to be the Dutch. That with out of control immigration, that with multiculturalism, with the inability to defend God, country, and family, that the Dutch are losing their distinct identity, and eventually they're going to lose their very language and their very culture. And this message of nationalism This message of closing down the borders, this message of patriotism, is resonating with many Dutch across the Netherlands, but it is despised by the liberal elites, and it is despised by many Islamists. What you are seeing with this Dutch Wilders case is the unholy alliance of the radical left with radical Islam. And if you think it's not that bad, let me tell you what the future is going to look like. Don't just look at Holland. Look at France. In France, there is another news story that has just come out. A 58-year-old teacher, a high school teacher, in the eastern city in France of Nancy, whose job it is to teach history, especially 20th century history. Her name is Catherine Petterzoli. She has now been fired from her job. Why? Because the French authorities have said that she was teaching the Holocaust in an unneutral way, that she was not neutral about the Holocaust, that according to French authorities, her teachings of the Holocaust offended many Muslims, because many of the radical Islamists in France don't believe there ever was a Holocaust. And so the fact that she would organize an annual school trip to Auschwitz in Poland, that was offensive. This was not, no, it didn't show the proper context. She wasn't neutral enough in teaching the Holocaust. And so now Muslims have forced her out of office. Literally, the Muslim community in France has exerted so much influence on the French government that essentially they have forced her out. She has been fired because they don't like the fact that the Holocaust is being taught. No, too much focus on the Holocaust. She seemed to be obsessed with the Holocaust. There was, quote unquote, according to the report, she showed lack of distance and neutrality in teaching the Holocaust. She was, quote, brainwashing her children, her school kids, for teaching the Holocaust. Yeah, you're being brainwashed. Don't say 6 million Jews were killed in the Holocaust, because that figure is denied in much of the Muslim world. In fact, according to Ahmadinejad and many Muslims on the Arab street, there never was a Holocaust. That's a Jewish conspiracy used to create the state of Israel. This is the level of barbarism. This is the level of illiberalism. This is the attack on freedom of speech and freedom of thought, on all of our dear Western values, that is now existing in France. Over 10% of the French population is now Muslim. Their birth rate is 7 to 8 times that of the local French or indigenous French population. By 2050, my friends, that's just 40 years. God gives me enough time on this earth, I'll have grandchildren by then. I'll still be alive, knock on wood. France, the great Catholic France, the great Christian France, the France of Joan of Arc and Louis XIV, will be a Muslim country. And what does this world look like? Here is a special report to all of you out there, members of the Kooner country. In Paris, over the last couple of weeks, there is now a major scandal and controversy that has erupted. There is a major mosque in Paris that is now bringing in so many Muslim worshippers from across the city of Paris that they are now praying on the streets. There are so many Muslims that go to this mosque that literally there are now photos coming all across the news wires that I'm seeing. It has stopped traffic completely. They're not in the mosque. They're outside the mosque, on sidewalks, on the street. You see Muslims praying. This has shut down traffic. People cannot leave their house. People cannot go into their house. People cannot leave shops. People cannot come into those shops. Now remember, the context here is crucial. Because of the rise of Islam within France, because of the rise of militancy, because many suburbs are now no-go zones for the French police, because so many Muslims have been rioting, so many of these Muslim youths have been rioting, burning cars, destroying buildings. It's like an intifada. The French have been so worried that their parliament passed a ban on the burqa. And there was also another law. Not only are they banning the burqa, but it's called the secularism law. Now, this is key, because the law said You cannot worship in public. Whether you're Catholic, Jewish, Muslim, whatever, in France, in a public setting, you cannot worship in public. In fact, in the schools in France, you can't even wear a crucifix around your neck because they want to make it completely secular to justify the ban of the headscarf and the burqa. So you cannot have any public demonstration of religiosity whatsoever. You can pray in a church, you can pray in a synagogue, you can pray in a mosque, you can pray in your home, but you cannot pray in public. So, not only are they now stopping traffic, not only are they now preventing residents from coming in and out of buildings and shops, but they are openly violating the law. And now the French are in an uproar. They are losing control of their own streets. They are praying on the sidewalks. They are praying on the streets. This is how they're willing to defy French law, French authority, and French culture. Now, I'm going to play to you a series of clips in this segment and the next segment. And my friends, you want to see the future of Arabia? Here it is right now on the Kuhner Show. Here is the reporter saying that streets in downtown Paris are now blocked by Muslim worshippers who are protected by a private security force. And now the government is deliberately turning a blind eye because if they try to remove these worshippers and clear up those streets, it will unleash rioting and a civil war. Tim, roll clip one, baby.
This is a Friday in Paris, filmed by hidden camera. The streets are blocked by a huge crowd of Muslim worshippers, and it's enforced by private security. This is all illegal in France. The public worship, the blocked streets, and the private security. But the police have been ordered not to intervene. It shows that even though some in the French government want to get tough with the Muslims and ban the burqa, other parts of the French government continue to give Islam privileged status.
And my friends, coming right up after this break, you're going to hear how the residents in those districts in Paris are reacting. They are on the verge of a cultural civil war in France. This is the danger of out-of-control immigration. This is the future of Arabia, and I pray it is not the future of America. This is Jeff Kuhner on 570 WTNT, the last honest man in Washington. We'll have so much more after the break. Don't touch that dial on the Kuhner Show. Welcome back to the Kuhner Show on 570 WTNT, the last honest man in Washington. My friends, special report, the rise of Arabia. So now, here you have over the last couple of weeks in France, massive prayers taking place in public in the streets of Paris. You can see them by the thousands. They're praying on the sidewalk. They're praying literally on the pavement of the streets. It has blocked off traffic. Residents cannot leave or come in. People can't go shopping. They can't leave or come into the shops. This is completely against the law in Paris and the law in France. They have security guards to protect these Muslim worshippers. This is now a display of Muslim power, a complete defiance of French law and French authority. Here is a resident, Maxime Lapointe, saying, this has become unlivable. This has become unbearable. Saying, you know what, this is completely illegal, and now they are taking over the streets of Paris. This is a form of conquest. Tim, roll clip two, baby.
They are blocking the streets with the barriers. They are praying on the ground, and the inhabitants of this district cannot leave their home, nor go into their home during those prayers. The Muslims who are taking over the streets do not have any authorization. They do not go to the police headquarters, so it's completely illegal.
Oh, you racist, you, Maxime, how dare you? Mean you actually want to come into your house? You actually want to be able to leave your house? How dare you ask for the right to be able to leave your house or come into your house? That you can actually walk on that street. It's supposed to be a public street. You're a taxpayer. You may think you have a right to walk on your streets. No. This is the new tolerant Europe. This is the new multicultural secular Europe. No. You're a xenophobic racist. for asking to be able to walk on your own streets. Now the reporter says that the Muslim community in France has been given unofficial rights that no Christian group or Jewish group could have. They are now given privileged special status because of the fact that they are using fear and intimidation. Tim, rule three, baby.
These Muslims have been granted unofficial rights that no Christian group is likely to get under France's laïcité or secularism law.
So it says people have the right to share any belief they want, any religion, but they have to practice at home or in the mosque, synagogues, churches, and so on.
Now, the Muslim community is arguing in response, well, look, they just need a bigger mosque. There's so many Muslims who want to pray. That's why they have to go and take to the streets and pray by the thousands in the streets and block traffic, because there's not enough room in the mosque. Yet, according to the residents in the area, especially this guy Maxime Lapointe, he says, no. Look at the cars. Look at their license plates. It says from which part of the city they're from. There are many mosques all across Paris. They're coming from all parts of Paris to this particular mosque in downtown Paris to show their power, to show their solidarity, to show we can take over French streets when we want to, and we can even conquer a part of French territory. Tim, roll clip four, baby.
Some say these Muslims must pray in the street because they need a larger mosque, but Maxime has observed cars coming from other parts of Paris, and he believes it's a weekly display of Muslim power.
They are coming there to show that they can take over some French streets, to show that they can conquer a part of the French territory.
Now, you may say, Jeff, 10% doesn't seem like much. I mean, it's only 10% of the population. That's still a small minority. Yes, but in France, they can't ask you your religious beliefs when they do the census. That's a guess. That's a guess estimate, as they would put it here in Washington lingo. It's a guesstimate, 10%. It could be 15, it could even be 20. Nobody knows. But here's what everybody does know. That the birth rate for the Muslim community, not just in France, but all across Europe, and in fact the world, is much higher than the indigenous community. Demography is destiny. And as the French are barely reproducing, Muslims are having 6, 7, 8 children per families. That's why in 40 years, France will become a Muslim society if demographic trends continue. And what's more is that under Islamic law, under Islamic tradition, Muslim men can have multiple wives. They're allowed to have polygamy. And of course, with each wife, they can have 5, 6, 7 children. And on top of it all, because they have multiple wives, they can collect multiple welfare checks. Tim, roll clip six, baby. Sorry, clip five, baby.
Muslims are said to be no more than 10% of the French population, although no one knows for sure because French law prohibits population counts by religion. But the birth rate for Muslims is significantly higher than for native French. Some Muslim men are said to practice polygamy, in some cases with each extra wife having children and collecting a welfare check.
Sure. Let the dumb infidel not only let you have polygamy, not only let you pray on the streets and block traffic, not only give you special privileged status, no. In a socialist state, you also get to collect welfare checks. What do you think they do as they're collecting welfare checks and they become radicalized in these mosques? They plan attacks. They are planning the takeover of French society and European society. My friends, we are subsidizing radical Islam. That is Europe, and soon that will be our own future as well. We have so much more. You don't want to turn the dial on this special report. You're listening to Jeff Cooner on 570 WTNT, the last honest man in Washington.
With Islam, it's not only a problem of numbers. The problem of Islam is a problem of really principles. Is Islam a political ideology, or is it just a creed? It doesn't matter how many they are. The problem is
the people who follow Islam are there somehow in a political party who has a political agenda, which means basically implementing Sharia and build an Islamic state.
That's French philosopher Radek Stanesk now saying that it's not just a question of numbers. You look at French society, so many of the, especially young Muslims, have become radicalized. They are openly calling for Sharia law and for the creation of a French Islamic state. And so now you have these massive worshipings taking place in the streets of Paris, blocking traffic, and exerting now French Muslim power and defying authority. And so now the reporters are saying, look, it was a social taboo. It was prohibited to criticize Islam in any way, shape, or form by either the political class in Paris or the media class throughout Europe. But now the people, the ordinary Frenchman and Frenchwoman, is now realizing we are losing our fundamental freedoms. And so what you're now seeing in France is an explosion of pork and wine cocktail parties. As you know, Muslim law prohibits the eating of pork or the drinking of wine. So now to stick their thumb in the nose, to stick their thumb in the eyes of many of these radical Muslims in Paris, you now have these huge pork and wine cocktail parties in the streets. My friends, what you are now seeing is the beginning of a cultural, political, civil war. And eventually, it may even turn to violence. Tim, roll clip 7, baby.
From the 1980s until just recently, it was a social taboo to criticize or oppose Islam. And so the government and media effectively helped Islam spread throughout the country.
We were expecting Islam to adapt to France. Now it's France adapting itself to Islam.
Even if many government elites in France are in denial over Islam, the people in the streets increasingly are not. And they're becoming fed up with what they see as the growing Islamization of this country. They've started staging pork and wine aperitifs or cocktail parties in the street. They're patriotic demonstrations meant to strike back against Islam.
My friends, what you are now slowly seeing is the gradual Islamicization of France. And what the French are now saying is that this society, this civilization, which has existed for nearly 2,000 years, based on its Catholic, Christian, European identity, will not go down without a fight. But here is what the French have a warning for us here in America. Here is politician Jean-François Cope. This is not some far right winger. He is a mainstream politician saying France is now in crisis and we cannot accept the growing Islamicization in our midst. But the problem that we face is not just to France. It is a problem that is facing all of Europe and all of the West. And he is urging everyone, you got to stand up and face this challenge before it's too late. Tim, roll clip 8, baby.
We cannot accept the development of such practice because it's not compatible with the life in a modern society, you see? And this question is not only a French question. You will all have to face this challenge.
My friends, there you have it, straight from the horse's mouth. This is what the Europeans are facing. This is what the French are facing. This is what the Dutch are facing. And the question I have for everybody in Kooner Country is a simple one. Do you believe that the problems that Europe is now encountering with radical Islam, is this the future of America? Are we going to have to adopt to Muslim ways rather than have Islam adopt to us? That is what's happening in Europe. And the question is this. Do we in America have the will to insist that Islam must assimilate and adapt to our culture and our way of life? 301-984-9570. Is the Islamicization of America inevitable? I want to hear from you. Let's go to Henry in Trenton, New Jersey, on line 2. Henry, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Kooner Show.
Thank you. I want to say, heck no. There's no way we're going to bow to them. And people like you, the Jeff Kooners and Michael Savages of the world, have been warning these liberals around the world. They're finally waking up. and agreeing with the conservative viewpoint, which you've been aiming and directing at them for years and years, finally, they're listening.
Henry, thank you so much, buddy. I just hope it's not too late. Let me be very honest with you. Look at this whole Ground Zero mosque issue. Look at the immense pressure, which is exactly what happened in Europe. We're just 20 years later. The Europeans had the same debate in the 70s and 80s. These are radical mosques peddling Sharia law, peddling the murder of Jews and Christians, defending Iran, defending terrorism. No, 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 no. You criticize it, you're an Islamophobe, you're a racist. Look how they try to browbeat us even here on our most sacred ground. So my question to everyone is a simple one. When are we going to say enough is enough? Now, that's what I say to people about the Ground Zero Mosque. You are here to respect our culture. You are here to respect our ways. On 9/11, 3,000 Americans were butchered. It's offensive to put a mosque near Ground Zero. And if you can't see that, then maybe you don't belong in America. Because maybe you can't see how offensive it is that an attack that was planned in mosques by 19 Muslim hijackers in the name of Israel way, 600 feet away. You are now not only being insensitive, you are being provocative. You are trying to tell us you will conquer America, just as you are conquering other parts of the world. And look how our liberal elites make the exact same arguments they were making in Europe. We have to adapt to Islam. We can't have Islam adapt to us. No, you are an American first. That's the question I would ask every Muslim. Are you a Muslim first, or are you an American first? If you're an American first, this mosque goes down. Let's go to Mike on line 3 in Herndon. Mike, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Cooner Show.
Well, thank you very much. As usual, you're right on a very important topic.
Well, thanks, Mike.
If you would you take one of your shows and expand it? Because if you look back over the past 40 years, one of the biggest issues is that Western Europe and the United States, as well as Japan, has had a birth rate that has been too low to sustain their populations. And that particular issue now is probably the root cause to why our Social Security is insolvent, why our economy is going in the wrong direction, and why the immigrants from Muslims as well as from South America are pushing over our borders. There's an expression out of The Art of War that says, he who has the largest army will win the war. Well, the industrialized countries and their intrinsic populations, not the immigrants that have gone to them, but the intrinsic populations, have now fallen from 25% of the world population just 50 years ago to where the intrinsic populations are less than 10%.
Mike, you make some excellent points. I want to thank you for that call. Let me make a pledge to all of you right now on Cooner Country. If there is not a breaking news story next Friday, in other words, if there's no really big breaking news that I have to cover, I will do a special two-hour report. Trust me, you're going to record it. Put this one for the history books. It will be called The Death of the West. I will look at the cultural causes of our decline, our economic causes, our civilizational causes, and why radical Islam is on the march. It's going to blow your mind away. It's going to be a special for Cooner Country next Friday. The only thing I'm going to say is, unless there's a really serious developing news story that I have to cover. Outside of that, Mike, you have my word. I will go into it in depth. Let me just say this to you, Mike. The Catholic Church in the 1960s explicitly warned Europe and America about this, that the sexual revolution, and in particular, contraception, pornography, and abortion, they said would destroy Western civilization from within. Because think about it. If you're killing babies, and you're doing everything possible to prevent procreation, how can you reproduce? You're going to die from within. And the church warned. It said, this will be the suicide of the West. You think you're having a party. You think it's live and let live. You think it's all going to be fun and roses. You are going to destroy the family. You are going to destroy our Judeo-Christian heritage. But most importantly, you are going to destroy our very birth rates. And that's exactly what's happening. That's why Europe brought in so many foreign immigrants, especially from North Africa and the Middle East. Their birth rates collapsed. So they needed labor, cheap foreign labor. And before you knew it, now they have a crisis of cultural and demographic proportions. My friends, we are dying from within. Unless we reclaim our heritage, our religion, and our faith. My friends, it's very simple. Either you stand with the West or you stand against it. The lines have been drawn. Let's go to Randy in Warrington on line 4. Randy, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Cooner Show.
I'm afraid I have to second that emotion. And I can just tell you, when I went to my 20-year high school reunion, all the best and brightest, the kids who had the highest IQ, the kids that achieved the most, the kids that worked the hardest, none of them had kids and none of them planned to. They were just too smart to have any kids.
Randy, well said. Listen, I just went back to Montreal recently where I was born. My wife had her 40th birthday party. I spoke about it a little bit on the air. So we met a lot of her friends, and I met a lot of my friends from high school 20 years ago. Let me be very candid. My wife's going to kill me for being so frank, but I'm going to, you know, what can I tell you? I'm going to speak truth to power. Either they were all divorced, or you were lucky if they had one kid. Now, I looked around me, and I said, I see nothing but failure. Yes, they're professionally all very successful. They're making a lot more money than their parents ever made, no question about it. They all have the 2 cars in the garage. They all have a nice vacation every year. But what are they reproducing? What are they leaving behind? Broken families, hardly any children. All they do is live for themselves. They're unable to sacrifice for anybody outside themselves. They can't fight for country. They can't have children. They can't do anything. And so when I look at them, you know what I see? Barren men and barren women leading empty lives. My friends, who controls the present controls the future. Demography is destiny, and there's no getting around it. Demography is on the side of the third world, and it's certainly on the side of Islam. That's the real population bomb. This is Jeff Cooner on 570 WTNT, the last honest man in Washington. Get up. Welcome back to the Cooner Show on 570 WTNT, the last honest man in Washington. 301-984-9570 is the number. 301-984-9570. Let's go to Mike in Washington, D.C. Mike, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Cooner Show, buddy.
Oh, thank you, Jeff. You know, it wouldn't be Labor Day weekend without one more call in before the weekend. And, you know, in the words of the great Jean Le Pen, they will never win. Never win. We will have Pernod every day with fucking Pernod. By the way, Jeff, I have a brother-in-law that's French, Jean-Michel. He's from Marseille, and I'm in touch with him all the time.
What does he say?
He said that Sarkozy's probably the best guy to have in leadership now, and that if they really go whack out of line, you're going to see, you know, the joke about the hand, how do you tell the French they put their hands up when they come out, you know, they surrender. That joke's passé. These young guys there are going to be worse than skinheads. What's going to happen is going to be the blow up of Western Europe. It's going to happen in France. They're not backing up, Jeff. And you were right. They know by the tags, by the numbers on the cars, what provinces and what parts of the city, the districts they live in. And my brother-in-law said this, we are not Montreal.
Oh, that's interesting. I'm originally from Montreal. I got to tell you, Mike, you see burqas everywhere.
Yes.
There is now Sharia law practiced in Montreal, in parts of Montreal. The French have completely capitulated in Montreal. It's very, very sad. You know, Mike, I got to tell you, it was about maybe 10 years ago when I went back to visit. I was on a street near my former university, Concordia. I used to go. It was a wonderful market, a wonderful movie theater. You can see, like, foreign movies. And so I wanted to, you know, have a nice afternoon there. And it had been transformed within 15 years, the last time I had been there. I felt like I was in the Middle East. But the women with burqas covered head to toe, 4, 5, 6 children. And I remember I saw one. She just had the slits of her eyes open. She had about 6 children around her. She was waiting at the red light. And beside the red light, I kid you not, because you know how libertine the French are in Montreal, right? I mean, listen, believe me, they make Hollywood seem like the bastion of Christian fundamentalism. They had, it was a shop, glow-in-the-dark condoms. All condoms, different colors that glow in the dark. And so there I see her sitting, standing there, waiting to cross, and the shop, the glow-in-the-dark condoms. And I remember, I never forgot that image. I said, these two cannot coexist. One is going to have to give. Either the secular hedonism or the Islamic fundamentalism. And I got to tell you, Mike, as a betting man, that woman with the burqa, I think, will triumph over the glow-in-the-dark condoms. That's just me, Mike.
Jeff, let me just tell you another thing. Your audience here in Washington. Hello?
Yeah, you're on, Mike.
Okay. Your audience in Washington, you have a huge amount of Iranians that listen to this show. Huge amount.
No, I know that.
Keep up the good work. Keep up the good work.
All right. Thanks, buddy. No, I mean, you're completely right. A lot of people don't know this. I had an email, let me just say, from a guy, Bill, before I got on the show. He sent me an email. And he said that he's from New Jersey, that he, where he's from in New Jersey, he has a Muslim mayor and a sort of a Jewish, what do you call him, vice mayor, whatever, like a top administrator. And he was saying, you know, Jeff, you're very critical of Muslims, but I have to tell you, I like this Muslim mayor. Now, how do you feel about having a Muslim mayor? And I wrote him back. I said, Bill, you don't, I think, fully understand where I'm coming from. I don't have a problem with Islam. I really don't. I have a problem with radical Islam. I have many Muslim friends. They're moderate, reform-minded Muslims. You think I'm tough on radical Islam? You should see these friends. You gotta see what comes out of their mouth. You think I'm tough on these crazy imams? You gotta hear these friends. They're saying they ruined my life. We left our native Morocco. We left our native Lebanon. We left our native Egypt because of these sickos. And the Iranian community is one of my strongest backers in Washington, D.C. because they have seen radical Islam and Islamic fundamentalism up close. They see its evil nature. They see its destructive nature. And they're trying to warn Americans, be careful, you are playing with fire. My friends, nobody is Islamophobic. The question is, radical Islam is freedom phobic. And so what I say is a simple one, freedom for all. Christian, Jew, Muslim, Buddhist, Hindu, you name it. But radical Islam, that I cannot accept, and no civilized person should accept. This is Jeff Cooner on 570 WTNT. My friends, have a wonderful Labor Day weekend. On Monday, we'll be back here, same time, same place. May God bless you, and may God bless America.
The Cooner Show. Cooner Show.